And will you join me in prayer? Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, I praise you again for bringing us here together in worship. I praise you again for those who have passed on your words of Scripture to us. And today we especially praise you for St. Paul, your apostle, for his missionary journeys, for his ministry, and for the writings that he has left us. And we pray that as we hear the words that he has written to the Corinthians, to a very troubled church, but a very blessed church, I pray that as we hear these words, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today's sermon comes to us from the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Many of y'all have heard me say before, if you wanted to have a model church from history on how to do everything right, this ain't it. The Corinthians are about as far from the model church as you can get. Yes, they were greatly blessed, but on the other hand, they were greatly confused. Actually, I think confused may not be the right word. Messed up, I think, is the colloquial way of saying that. If you think that God can do nothing with somebody, just read what he did with the Corinthians. And by the way, just in case you're wondering, did it actually work? There is still a church in Corinth, Greece today that traces its spiritual ancestry all the way from the time of St. Paul. Trust me, God is faithful. So St. Paul tells the Corinthians, beginning in verse 1 of the second chapter, I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And this is the word of the Lord. This church, this congregation, exists for one reason and one reason only: to proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified. We proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified. Today, at the end of this service, we will culminate our worship by installing Donnie Wedgeworth as our newest elder. And over the nearly 200 years of this congregation's history, many men have served in that position, and none of them deserve the honor, and I hope to God none of them accepted the position from a sense of entitlement. Because the office of elder brings responsibility far beyond the recognition that they receive. C.S. Lewis wrote in The Weight of Glory that the load or weight or burden of my neighbor's glory should be laid on my back, a load so heavy that only humility can carry it, and the backs of the proud will be broken. Only the truly humble can carry the weight of the glory of this congregation. And St. Paul had already learned this lesson. Now, if you want to see somebody who really had the right to be full of himself, St. Paul is your guy. He had excelled in his studies as a Pharisee in Jerusalem. Then he had gone to Tarsus, and we can very safely infer at his time at Tarsus that he spent his time in the philosophical schools there. It turns out that a Greek historian said that Tarsus was right up there with Athens among the most notable school of philosophy in the Roman world. And, you know, hey, once a model student, always a model student. Now, it's kind of like this shirt that somebody threatened to get somebody back a long time ago. It has a baby really smugly saying, "I got an A. I always get an A." And you can imagine Paul pretty much being the guy who says, "I always get an A." But the thing is, only God himself could have humbled a man with such a pedigree and with the talents that St. Paul possessed. And fortunately, Paul had already encountered, or better, endured a humbling experience before he arrived at Corinth. He had received the opportunity to preach to the greatest philosophers of the empire during his stay in Athens. And unlike the results he came to expect from his time preaching in synagogues, Paul hit a wall in Athens. The man who regularly witnessed the Holy Spirit's work in city after city was practically laughed out of town. And if you'll read Acts 17, you'll see that the spiritual giant who was often chased out of town because of his success practically slunk out of Athens. And it's a good thing that Paul could learn from his experiences. Because when he arrived in Corinth, he didn't use lofty speech or wisdom to preach there. Corinth was a seaport. It was not a philosophical fortress the way Athens was. Corinth was the seaport where all the sleaze and sin of the Mediterranean world accumulated. And trust me, lofty speech would not have made any progress in Corinth. Instead, Paul said, "I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Unlike in Athens, where he stood boldly on the Areopagus, St. Paul came to Corinth in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Unlike in Athens, where Paul tried to use pure reason with the philosophers, in Corinth, he spoke in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, and it worked. You see, the Corinthians believers needed to know, and Paul wanted them to know, that human wisdom alone will never convert a soul. It'll never convince anyone of the truth of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection. He wanted their faith to rest in the power of God, a power that continues to draw people to the cross for forgiveness of sins. The power of God demonstrated on the cross by Jesus humbles us to surrender from our rebellion against God and to accept Jesus' atoning sacrifice on our behalf. And it will be the power of God, not human reason, that will raise the dead to the life everlasting. It is by the power of God that we live. It is by the power of God that we are saved. But what is this secret and hidden wisdom that Paul imparted to the Corinthians he talks about here? He says that humans could never have deduced this mystery on their own. Every so often you find somebody who thinks they're smart enough to figure to reason their way to God, or they're smart enough to get something done. And here's what it comes down to. Smartness alone, intelligence alone, will get you nowhere before the throne of Almighty God. If the Spirit doesn't work, you don't make it. Turns out that Isaiah had said, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. We do not have the mind of God to imagine how he wants this thing to work. And trust me, folks have tried. Folks have written a whole lot. They have spilled a whole lot of ink. They have disrupted a whole lot of electrons on computers trying to figure out the mind of God, and it has all failed. Because the mind of God has a mystery in store. And it is that mystery in which we live. By the way, it is that mystery to which today we apply our intellect. It's that mystery to which we apply our intellectual gifts as much as everything else that we have. That mystery is that, as he writes to the Ephesians, Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. You see, Paul could preach Christ to the Gentile Corinthians because he knew that they could inherit the promise fulfilled in Christ Jesus. This justifies the existence of this church. The Gentiles are fellow heirs. We couldn't have figured it out, but now that God has revealed it, it is our responsibility to carry it out. You see, Greensboro doesn't need another social club. We have social clubs, and they're doing very good work. Greensboro doesn't need another service organization. We have service organizations here that are doing very good work, and we probably need some more service organizations to continue that work and to add to that work. No, what Greensboro really needs, Greensboro needs believers in Christ who will humbly join together in spite of our faults, in spite of our weaknesses, our quirks, our pride, our fears, and proclaim through our worship and through our actions that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. There is no other reason for us to gather on Sunday morning than for us to worship the God who sends us forth to proclaim with our lives Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. That is the purpose of this church. And it's a good thing that God raises leaders to serve the church in this weighty task. We cannot do it on our own. In the congregation, God has given us pastors, elders, and deacons to bear the weight of the church. And now's the time for me to let you in on something that we need reminding of every once in a while. None of these offices exist to keep the congregation happy and content. None of these offices exist to please the crowd. The men who fulfill these duties accept the offices because God calls us to serve his people above all else. And sometimes you cannot serve the people of God by taking a popularity vote. We know where Scripture stands, and there we stand. Which I think brings us to a couple of challenges that I would like to lay down to the leaders of this church and also to the congregation. First off, to my elders who are here. I challenge you today, as we ordain and install a new man to this office, to renew our own ordination vows and resolve to serve our church more strongly than ever, more passionately than ever, more dedicated than ever. We cannot lead this church through our charisma. Doesn't work that way. And I kind of say this up at work, and they kind of sort of laugh at me, and then they realize it's true. When you work in academia, you realize really quick you can't command faculty to do anything. Am I right? You can strongly encourage, But if you really want to get on the wrong side of the wrong people, you mandate to faculty that they're going to do something a certain way. And friend, I tell you, it'll be years, if ever, if you recover from the fallout. The elders of our church, our session, cannot command you to do anything. We must lead by example as we take the gospel into the world. We must minister to our members. We must protect the weak. We must restore the broken. And this ministry will require more than we have to give. And it is only the power of God that sustains us and empowers us. So to my elders, to my deacons, to our newest elder, I challenge you and myself to pray more, to give more of ourselves, and to carry the gospel in our lives so that anyone we invite to this congregation will consider the invitation because of the life they have seen us live. We should serve as the example. Well, to the rest of the congregation, you don't get off that easily. I challenge you to preach Christ crucified in your lives. And one of the ways to do that is by regular worship attendance. My daddy always said, and he said many a time over the 40-something years that he's pastored, if you want to rob the Alexander house, you know to show up sometime between 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock on Sunday morning. Because nobody's going to be there. You can go in. And by the way, you go into his house and, there's nobody there. I'm going to put this sermon on the internet. Everybody knows it's okay. Everybody in Walker County who knows Hollis Alexander knows. You can go to his house between 10 and 12 o'clock. Nobody's there but Lady the Puppy, okay? And the thing is, people knew that about Daddy because they always knew he was there in worship. Regular worship attendance still serves as the greatest sign to unbelievers that we believe in Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. We preach Christ crucified when we gather together in weekly worship. But we also preach Christ crucified through the love that we demonstrate to others. We must practice love in the lives of everyone we know. And here it comes, especially in the lives of those no one else can even like, much less love. Hate to tell you, but somebody just flew in your mind. You don't like that person. You wish to heaven that God put him in somebody else's life and let him be their problem instead of yours. Forget it, friend. He belongs to you. And you're his love now. Love those who bless you. Love those who curse you. Love those who make your life miserable. Love those who uplift you and carry you in weakness. Love those who try to drag you down when you're celebrating. Love those who join with you to strengthen you in your spiritual walk with Christ. Because as St. Peter wrote, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. You've heard me say it before, but it bears repeating. God loves Greensboro. God loves all of Greensboro. God loves those in the church today, and he loves those who aren't. And Christian, as we go forth today, we must demonstrate, we must live the power of God in Christ crucified. We must live the power of God in the forgiveness of sins and the sure and certain hope of the resurrection which awaits us. And Christians, as we live in that love, as we demonstrate that love, as people are responding because of that love. May we one day stand unashamed in the mighty company of believers, alive eternally by the power of God through Christ crucified. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.